On today's catch-up, the average length of bedroom antics. Can we not use the word length?
The one and only Liz Hayes celebrates 40 years of 60 Minutes.
Matt reconnects with Nadine Garner from the Blake Mysteries.
Well, she didn't remember me.
That was funny. And we try to find Perth's biggest Christmas Grinch. Bah humbug.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket.
Guys, I have some pretty frank, open conversations with my friends.
Yes.
And I don't shy away from topics. I feel like, you know, pretty much you can discuss anything without it making me too, you know, I don't get prudish about anything,
okay.
Let's say. Matt? But I can't honestly remember ever really having a conversation with my friends where anyone has said, hey, how long do your bedroom antics last?
Oh, yeah, keep talking.
Oh, now, finished.
Uh-huh. I don't think we really have the conversation that much.
Sure.
But gee, the researchers, gee, they want to know the answers, don't they?
Do they?
Well,
I thought
like...
it was just as long as the ad break.
Quite often you see these articles that say, well, how average is average?
Sure.
How long is the average time?
Well, it's about the size discussion too, isn't it?
Isn't it?
About it? Yeah, you know, what's a big time amount of time that you make?
This is one of those awkward breaks of radio where we try to chat through without saying
getting
anything
fired.
Completely inappropriate. Yeah.
I don't know what you were thinking about, Paul.
Nothing. But as you say, we shouldn't be prudish about it. It's all natural and real.
No. Yeah. And so, you know, we've got some researchers, some scientists who have put together 500 couples
right.
to find out what the average time is. Now,
okay.
we're talking, just to be specific here, we're not talking about the grinding and all the things that can happen beforehand.
Foreplay.
All right.
Yeah. The warm-up, yeah.
The warm-up.
I like grinding that.
We're talking about from start, like
yes.
from, you know, the beginning
yeah.
to, you know...
Okay.
Oh, skyworks.
Okay. Now,
well, sometimes it's fireworks and sometimes it's someone going, oh, okay, oh. Is that it?
We're done.
Yeah.
Well, still fireworks to one person probably.
Sure. Yes.
But 500 couples from around the world, they got them to time themselves
yep.
having during their bedroom antics over a 4-week period using a stopwatch.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. And it is as awkward as it sounds. They literally pressed start at the start
yeah.
and stop at immediately at the end,
well,
right?
We're speaking to Liz Hayes from 60 Minutes a little later. Maybe it was the same stopwatch.
Do you know what they worked out to be the average?
What?
Across everybody, across all of these couples, the average time was from 33 seconds.
Okay, now we're talking.
To 44 minutes.
What?
How is that for a gap? Anywhere between 33 seconds and 44 minutes is considered the standard.
Okay.
Right.
It's funny you say that because Sting and Trudy Styler were going tantric. It was 44 days.
Yeah, that's
pretty the average.
They're the only ones.
Yeah.
So everyone else is closer to 33 seconds except
yeah, right.
Sting
right.
and Trudy.
Yeah.
Well, there's no normal amount of time, the experts are saying. The average, if we're being technical across
yeah.
the whole thing,
yep.
is that it's going to be 5.4 minutes.
Okay.
And you know what's interesting?
Mm.
It doesn't matter about the manhood. Apparently, it doesn't matter about, you know, the
whether
shape or whether
it's got a jumper on or not.
Whether it's wearing a jumper,
sure,
any of those things. whether it's wearing a raincoat, none of that matters.
None of that matters.
Okay.
Hasn't changed the outcome.
And that is interesting because often that you'll hear that, you know, oh, I don't know, lack of sensitivity.
Oh, women hear that all the time. It's a wonderful excuse, men. Doesn't
okay.
work, though.
Okay. Been using it for years.
Yeah. So there you go. 5.4 minutes is the average, and it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where you are in the world.
Can you rephrase that, Kimbo? Because we're trying to go that way. Please.
I think we got through that quite delicately.
We didn't do too badly.
Yeah.
Are we done yet?
Yeah. What was that? 3 minutes 41.
Well done.
We're just below average.
Oh, I love you.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Kimber, I've got to say that the mm-hmm. current affairs icon, which is 60 Minutes, is celebrating 40 years. 1978, can you believe
it's
that?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
That's been 40 years. Funny, isn't it? And so they're celebrating on Channel 9 this Sunday at 7 p.m. So many household names have come from that show, the likes of Ray Martin, George Negus, and one of those is Liz Hayes, who joins us. Liz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're very well. Liz, 40 years of 60 Minutes. I mean, you guys have broken some huge stories, but because it is over 40 years, is some of the footage really cringeworthy, the fashion or the journalistic deliveries?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way of getting around that. There's no doubt that I can look back and go, oh, my goodness, look at that hair. Or, whatever. But, that's life and that's okay.
At least you still have hair, Liz. Some of us aren't that fortunate. Liz, it's been a wonderful career for you personally. You're much respected. But I do ask the question, it does seem that we are caught in a kind of no man's land between, titillating stories and real kind of hard-hitting journalism that I personally want to see. How do you feel the landscape is at the moment?
Oh, look, there's no doubt we're pushing it uphill, to be deadly honest, because there is the groundswell of celebrity intrigue, and to try and get over the top of that is hard going sometimes. And maybe that's why we're watching reality TV in our place when we used to be watching 60 Minutes. So that probably tells you the where we're all at. For us, that's really hard, but we continue on. 60 Minutes has always had a sort of a magazine format, which has meant that it has always been designed for everybody to be able to view and enjoy. So we want you to be informed, but we want you to engage in the first place. So there's always been a bit of a balancing act between getting you in and then showing you and telling you what we would like to show and tell you. So
sure.
It's a constant battle. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's how it just is. And particularly now, probably more than ever.
Yes.
And when they're putting together the memorable moments for this special, did they come to you as journos and ask what you think your biggest story was, or were they chosen for you?
That's one of the hardest questions to be asked, because you've done so many stories and frankly my memory's not that great. I need to be dogged into being reminded. But no, there are some stories that stay with you, and when you do go back through the catalogue you go, oh, that's right, yeah, that was extraordinary. No, they're not chosen for us. Well, not in my case at least.
Yeah, the love and admiration for Gerald Stone, the original, one of the very early producers. 60 Minutes Australia just couldn't have happened without him, but the love amongst the staff and crew and cast is widespread, isn't it?
Look, Gerald Stone is the foundation, really, and what an extraordinary guy. And he had probably the toughest job going, making this program work, and he did. And I think he's always going to be a star to us. I mean, he is the guy we tend to look to when we think, oh, God, have we gone off the rails? And he's quite reaffirming, actually. He can tell you very quickly whether or not he thinks you're doing a good or a bad job. And he's been far more complimentary than we had expected at times.
I guess the big question that's on everyone's lips is, how's the stopwatch?
Well, it's not digital, is it?
No, no.
I like the stopwatch.
Yeah, me too.
Come on, we all like it.
You hear that ticking, and I mean, it's one of those, real
iconic
audio cues. Yeah. You know exactly what's coming on. Yeah.
It is that. It's like the school bell, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a calling. Yeah. I'm Liam Bartlett. No, I'm not. Hey, he's a mate of our show. Hey, Liz, all the best. We will see you on 60 Minutes for the 40th anniversary.
Yeah, congratulations.
You will indeed.
Well done.
Listen, thank you very much for having us on. I really appreciate it.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Just been chatting about the career of someone who seems to have been on our screens forever. Her name is Nadine Garner, Australian actor. Look, Henderson Kids, City Homicide, that's going back a long time, City Homicide, and the Blake Mysteries in more recent times.
Absolutely.
And now she's the star of the show. No pressure, Nadine Garner. Welcome. How are you?
Thanks, guys. No pressure indeed.
Well, Nadine, it is great that a successful drama gets another evolution where you now play the lead character. Were you waiting for the writers to just suddenly give you a more dramatic backstory you didn't know you had?
Oh, look, obviously, we can't talk about this without mentioning Craig and the allegations surrounding him and the fact that we basically lost the show. Seven had taken the show after ABC axed it, and we were so thrilled and excited. And then, lo and behold, all the allegations came out, Seven dumped the show, and we were all out of a job. And there's a lot of us who make the show. We've been together for 6 years making that show. And for some of us, I don't really get any other work other than that show at the moment. So it's my livelihood. It's how I pay the bills.
Yep.
And to lose it was catastrophic. I mean, I know you guys understand you're in the arts and, your contracts are tenuous.
Yeah.
And
yep.
If someone just decides to tear one up, then it's pretty catastrophic. So Yeah, we basically thought, how can we salvage this brand? How can we keep it alive and keep everyone employed? We couldn't do much. Craig's court case is pending, but we all still need to keep going. So we found a way to dramaturge the story, bringing Jean into the forefront, which I think works fairly well because she's kind of been pitted that way over the last 5 years as the kind of strong woman behind the man. So, you know, it wasn't such a big leap to put her in that place. Mm. And we've moved the story forward sort of 3 years. So it's sort of set against the assassination of JFK, and it's 1963. So she's moved, the world's sort of moved on its axis, and she's come forward a little as well.
Nadine, being in radio for about 100 years, I was a bit obsessed when Roar FM came on. We'll just play a little bit of Roar FM.
I'm telling you, no one's going to listen to a stuttering DJ. It'll be us in here having a great time, and that'll be about it.
Oh, chill out, Granger. She's good.
So what? Nobody listens. You want to be like every other radio station? What's the point? You want to be like the rest of the world where people like me and Sarah never get a go? Great.
That's not exactly what he said, Zelda.
Look, you don't want to be like every other radio station. Three voices there. One was you. One was Dominic Purcell. Do you know the name of the other actor?
I think that was Eleanor Mandela.
Oh, that's awkward because, Nadine, it was actually Matt Dictinsky.
Matthew
and
Dictinsky.
That's Matt on our show.
Matt's on our show.
Matt Dutinsky. I'm sorry, of course.
No, that's you're dead to me, Nadine. That's it. It's over. It's over.
Matt, I knew your voice. I was trying to be clever and remember. Wasn't there Eleanor? Wasn't there as well?
She was about to jump in.
She was.
Hey, how you going, Nadine?
No, we set you up, Nadine.
I'm good, Maddie. I'd heard through the grapevine that you were on radio over there, and I was very pleased for you. I'm so thrilled.
Thank you. I'm now Perth's 17th most popular DJ.
I think that's brilliant, Maddie, and you've got a great voice for radio.
Oh, Joel, thank you so much. Nadine, I tell you what, there's something about, you know, we love a show set in a country town too, don't we? And that beautiful gold rush town of Ballarat, it's a wonderful setting for the show.
Yeah, I think there's something about period drama too, where there's just a moment where you can be nostalgic. And in a world where everything's about reality TV and how naked you can get people on the television, I think there's a lovely sort of relief in watching something that's quite cultivated and crafted and just beautiful to look at, you know.
Exactly.
Hey, Nadine, we have had a lot of actors in recent times, and they, as you mentioned there, you know, it's a tough gig, isn't it? Well, the life of a working actor, and a lot of them, you know, maybe in a big hit show. Roger Corsi said to us a couple of years ago, he goes, when I'm not working, sometimes I'm making car ads, and sometimes, you know, at times in my career I've been down the wharf. It is a tough gig, isn't it, to just continually try and find that income?
Yeah, look, I think there's a really gross misconception, particularly in Australia, about Australian actors. I think we get confused with our American counterparts who are on massive wages when they do a job and sometimes can live on those films or television series for years to come. But it's not the case for Australian actors. We don't get paid that highly, and often we'll only work for a few months of the year and then have to live on that for the rest of the year, with the added uncertainty whether there's another job coming. So it is quite a tough life. I know it's our choice. We choose to live like that.
Yeah.
But the misconception is tiring after a while, where people just think you're okay because you're on television. And you know, it's not particularly helpful, especially when, you know, people think with a show like Blake, well, why, how could you go on and make it without Craig? I mean, there's a little bit of that backlash, a little bit around. Like, how could you do it? It's, you know, shouldn't you really just be holding the space for him to return? But the bottom line is, for us, it isn't a hobby. It's our livelihood. It's how we pay our bills.
Yeah.
And we need to keep working.
So, well, it helps that you're bloody good too. That's okay.
It does.
Yeah, and people can make their decision once they've seen the show. Give it a go. Give it a chance if you were one of those people who were naysaying, you know.
Okay, look, we all want people to be loyal to the characters that they've loved. And I don't mind that, but I think there is a bit of a fresh air gap between what they see on the screen and the reality of the people's lives who make it. We make it because it's our job. It's all we do. It's all we know. And when those jobs disappear, then it is actually a critical situation.
Okay. So 7 tonight, 8:30 p.m, The Blake Mysteries. Nadine Garner, good to catch up.
Oh, thank you for your time. And lovely to talk to you, Maddie.
You too, my friend. Well done.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
We do it this morning, of course, for our friends at Elite, with the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket. See Elite at poolcovers.com.au. On the eve of summer, finally we're here.
Just when I was getting excited about Christmas.
Oh.
You know, I've been really, like, lately I've just started to feel a bit more Christmassy.
Have you?
Yeah, just this week I thought I might buy myself a wreath this year.
Oh, really?
And put it on the front door. I've never had that before. Oh, okay. And I thought, I might just start to get a few more decorations around the joint, put some tinsels in the trees, a few fairy lights, things I've never bothered with before.
Have you been a bit grinchy before that?
Well, look, maybe...
There you go, this would be okay,
Sue. I do kind of love this song a bit more than I used to. The thing is, I've been feeling really excited about Christmas and just trying to make a bit more effort because last year I did buy a tree for the first time in 17 years. I got a tree,
which
I was thrilled about. Yeah. And I did love it quite a bit until I got the email from work.
Oh.
Got a work email. You guys got the same one that said...
I haven't seen anything about Christmas. What's going on?
They want us to come back at 3 p.m. this afternoon to help decorate the office with Christmas gear.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Now, suddenly I feel grinchy. Suddenly I've gone from, how great's Christmas, to really... Really? Wow. Coming back to the office to set up the decorations?
I won't be doing that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm a bit busy. buying prezzies for you guys, of course.
Yeah,
that's what I'll be doing too. I mean, I've spent most of my adult life not caring at all.
Yeah. Right. And you were away from family for some of your Christmases.
I was away from family and lots of orphans' Christmases, which were lovely, and people welcomed me into their homes. Mm. But having said that, would have been quite happy to be on my own, watching telly, whatnot, you know, not bothered.
Yeah.
But as I've said a few times, that's changed now. I have a little girl in my life. And, you know, in fact, the advent calendar, or that she doesn't call it that, she calls it the chocolate calendar.
Chocolate calendar, of course.
Smart girl.
That's the key.
arrived yesterday.
Ah.
And even though she knows she's not allowed to open it, she was, I saw, just working with her fingernail some of the perforated edges.
As you do.
And I'm like, oi, stop. So, you know, when you've got a little person around and you see that there is still... magic, because, you know, it's easy to get cynical about the, you know, the marketing and the dollars
of course, and all that
stuff.
Well, when you see tinsel on the shop in October, that's a bit over the top.
But... Yeah, boosting the Chinese economy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But that's the thing, because when you do meet a Christmas Grinch, we'll say,
they're really
grinchy.
Does that count that when my kids were little and I was ours was a house that didn't have the lights on the outside?
Oh, yeah. Aww. Were you a bit disappointed?
Well, no, I was the one, when my kids were little, I was the one who couldn't be bothered climbing on the roof because I'm not great with heights to start with and I didn't want to pay for the power.
Oh, no, I get it. Yeah. I get it. I think 133353, if you're a Christmas Grinch, for whatever reason, you know, we're not going to judge you, everyone. Some people just aren't into it, but you might have a reason. Just what do you hate about Christmas? What's the thing that's just making you go, nah?
Maybe you had a traumatic experience with a bauble.
Because you do see people get super angry when the hot cross buns come in season too soon at the shops.
Oh, yes.
Or when the Christmas decorations go up in the stores in October, people get angry
about it. Halloween, usually. Yeah.
So we're asking people to call the Grinch line, are we?
Yeah, why not?
Are you a Christmas Grinch? 133353.
We'll try and turn you around. Well, that might be my newfound Christmas spirit.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Not far from Chrissy.
Woo!
Some people are really excited as we head into December tomorrow in the lead up to Chrissy. Some people are just Grinches. Yes.
We're getting more and more into it, but Danielle from Brabham, apparently your mum's not. Is she a Grinch?
Oh my gosh, she's the lead Grinch in Perth, I think.
Okay.
Hi, Danielle. What is it about Christmas that gets her goat?
Well, I don't know. I have two older sisters and a brother, and since I stopped believing, I think she just has given up. Even with four nephews and a niece, she literally decides when we have Christmas Day. So this year it's in 2 weeks.
Right, okay.
And then she makes Dad get in the caravan and they leave us all to fend for ourselves on Christmas Day.
Oh, so mid-December Christmas Day for you guys.
We just have it when she decides. We all go over for lunch and the Christmas tree isn't up. Right. There's no Christmas tunes. We're lucky to even get a fruitcake.
Why does she even bother, Danielle?
Yeah. Bah humbug.
I don't know.
It's all part of the fun. Danielle, you need to turn up with bonbons and tablecloths and it's a BYO Christmas.
Yeah. Trust me, I bring the spirit.
Yeah, good on you. You love her out of it, Danielle.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Merry Christmas, Danielle. I thought we'd get in early.
Thank you.
Everything Perth. For Brekkie, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Tis the season to be Yoko. So this is Christmas. People get a bit Christmassy, really.
Oh, gee, I love this song.
But some people get a bit grinchy at Christmas and each to their own. Mm. You don't have to be anything you're not.
No.
But Matt is in Helena Valley. Matt, your partner hates Christmas.
Oh, yeah, something absolutely shocking, actually. Don't know what it is. It's presents and lights, and you name it, she doesn't like it. So, you know, being the type of guy I am, I like to turn her into her own Christmas decoration and litter the house with lights and you name it.
Rub it in, so, Matt.
Oh, yeah, you've got to do it. She's slowly coming around, though. We had a rule in our first year, no Christmas presents,
right,
which I completely ignored and got her something anyway, so got in trouble for that. Littered the house, put the Christmas tree up, and she works night shifts every now and then, so yeah. I covered the front of the house in lights, and she rocked home from work one night, woke me up, and was like, what are you doing?
So do you feel that you're turning her around, Matt, slowly?
She is. She's definitely slowly coming around. My family's a big Christmas lovers. Mum used to go crazy with all the decorations as well. So she's slowly getting there. We're due for a kid in April.
Oh,
so,
there you go. That'll turn it on.
Yeah, make sure that we're fully set up for Christmas come next year for sure.
Santa will be changing at your house. Everything that comes now, Santa will be looking after you guys a little extra special.
Big time.
Yeah. I'm pretty keen to wear the suit, I'm not going to lie.
Get into it, mate.
Thanks, Matt.
We'll have some more pudding, you'll fit into it. Thanks, buddy. Let's go to Sterling. G'day, Olivia. What about the Christmas Grinch in your world?
Yeah, that'd be my husband who hates Christmas and doesn't want to do the lights, doesn't want to do the presents, doesn't want to do the meals. None of it, but it's got him to put a Santa up so far, so...
Oh, Santa's a good start. Not a bad start. Got to get somewhere.
Yep, so the lights will really come out soon, because we live in a street where there's lots of lights, so he will be doing that this weekend, hopefully.
Keep the pressure on, Olivia, and have a Merry Christmas at your place, won't you?
Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. Let's go to Merengaroo. Adam, who's the Christmas Grinch in your world?
Me. I am the Grinch.
What's wrong with you, Adam? Come on, mate.
Adam?
Why so grinchy?
I don't know. I just, about 4 or 5 years ago, I just went, look, guys, this is my family, friends. I'm not getting you anything. You don't get me anything. We all just keep our cash and we just have a good Christmas. I just don't like buying gifts. Even mum loves it. Doesn't mind.
Aww. Hey, but do you put around some decorations at least?
Mum minds. Mum's here and she said she doesn't mind.
I do mind.
She does mind.
Of course
mind.
You mind.
I do mind. Good
Come
on, mum.
Adam, make this the year that you get Mum a very special, special Christmas present.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Yeah.
He's moving away to England. So
is he?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's your present, Mum, that he's moving away.
He's obviously a wealthy guy. He can buy you something really flash.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam.
No worries.
Thanks, Mum. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Adam sounded familiar, but anyway,
didn't he?
We move on.
Stephanie's in Seville Grove. Stephanie, your sister is a Grinch.
She is a Grinch. So this year I love Christmas and I started my own like Christmas decorations page called Balls on the Table.
Yeah. Love it. Love it.
Great.
And she would not help me with any of it. Anytime I get it, because we live together, it all has to be stashed in the spare room. She won't go near the spare room.
Wow.
She's not, like I did markets and I wore a Christmas hat and she sat there with her arms crossed. She wouldn't wear the hat. She wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Oh,
but
she humbug.
And then the day after Christmas in our house, the tree has to come down the day after Christmas.
Oh, no. Boxing Day. Hey, Stephanie, was she traumatised as a child? No, missed out on the good gifts?
I think it's a stress thing for her.
Right.
She just gets really stressed out.
Well, it's a lot of work. People
it
who
is.
Have to prepare a lunch for family or go to the shops and tackle 15 presents, it's a lot of work and effort.
It is. It is.
I actually found Stephanie's webpage, Balls on Your Table, but by accident.
Don't Google that at work.
Now I'm worried.
Thanks, Steph.
No worries.
Merry Christmas,
Stephanie.
Merry Christmas.
And pass that on to your sister too, just to drive her nuts from
I
us.
I will.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Belinda missed.
So, of course, it's the eve of summer, as you said, Claire, and I believe tradition tells us that December the 1st is when people put up their their Christmas trees and their Christmas lights. Is that right?
Traditionally, yes.
Yeah. I know some people have already done it, but
some people do it. They're the ones who've got plenty of money to pay for the power.
Like the White House, they've done it.
Oh, haven't they?
Yeah, but you know, it's a big thing. You know, for people, I know in Sydney, and I'm sure they do it here too. I think you said in Mandurah they do it. You know, people will drive around the streets, and there are certain streets that are known for their light shows.
Absolutely. There's one in Duncraig, and sometimes you can tell when the kids get older in those streets because they don't do it anymore.
Right.
The kids moved out.
Yes.
They've lost interest.
Yeah. Well, of course, they do this in Old Bridge, and that's in New Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah, right. So Tom Abruzzi, he's from Jersey, okay?
You mean a bit of this kind of Jersey?
Nobody pushes my boy like
that. That's right.
Jersey. Yo, hold up. There's three chicks right behind us, yo.
Oh my God.
Yes. Almost need an interpreter.
That's how we do things in Jersey.
They do use like subtitles on Jersey Shore.
Well, Tom Abruzzi's not happy because he's been doing this Christmas lights thing forever. Right. It's a big thing for him and his family. But City Hall have told him that he's going to be billed $2,000 per day for the extra police, security and transportation needed to reduce traffic around his house.
Holy moly.
For the number of people that are going to see his lights.
Oh, that's awful.
Isn't that terrible?
That's awful.
Now, the Abruzzis are trying to crowdfund to cover the costs of this.
Yeah.
I've seen their Facebook page. It's like, yo, we need some money now. The government are down on us.
How American is it saying City Hall?
Well, that's the biggest problem. You can't fight City Hall. So
you
now
can't.
That $2,000 fine is standing.
Well, the Abruzzis are. Maybe that'll be, you know, because obviously Sopranos has run its race. So maybe the Abruzzis could be next.
They might be the next family.
They should. That's such a fun spoiling thing to do.
It really is. I mean, and how bloody good must it be?
Yeah.
Their light show. If it's costing $2,000 a day for security and facilities to host all the people.
That sounds a bit like my old mate Kim Illman from Messages on Hold. He used to have this amazing light show at his house and he raised a lot of money, like thousands of dollars every year, and eventually it just got too busy in the street. And I don't know if people in the street complain, but they did raise good money for charity over the years.
Right.
I don't believe he does it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, house in Churchlands, yeah.
I have a similar complaint about outside every school in Perth pick up time and drop off time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, exactly.
Yeah, let's find them $2,000 a day to pick up their kids from school.
Okay,
yeah.
Tom Abruzzi walking down, you know, Second Avenue. Yo, get moving.
Is that meant to be a kiss and drop off? How many times do you have to kiss your kid on the head?
Exactly.
Yeah, well done.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Matt, I've got the best news for you this morning.
Oh, do you?
There is a high chance of an El Nino weather pattern developing, which means it's bringing the heat.
Shirt up already.
The long-term summer forecast, according to the Bureau of Meteorology, says that for Perth and for Southwest, the chance of excessively hot temperatures between December and February is at about 60%.
Look, I'm super glad about that. But like all of life, you've given me a bit and you've taken it away because I'm happy about the temperatures and now you've made me feel guilty that it's an El Nino.
You don't want to be responsible for that.
No, I don't.
No.
Mate, go with no guilt.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
just do it.
Well, you wanted the heat and the fact is it doesn't matter what your actions are, you're still going to get it, right?
It's not your fault. Okay.
No, but that's a lot of hot weather. I mean, they're saying that across the country, the long-range summer temperatures, so we're looking across the entire month, that it's going to soar above average pretty much everywhere in Australia. So they're worried about bushfire season,
the heat waves.
But most of Australia's got an 80% chance of a higher than normal temperatures between December and February.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, there's people in those areas like the hills of Western Australia, of Perth, you know, up Green Mountain, up around there. They're doing a lot of work right now in preparation. They know the heat's coming.
And, of course, we've had so little rain.
Yeah, it's very dry, isn't it?
It's very dry.
Yeah. When I drive up Beach Road and I look at it, you know, even the median strip and stuff like that, and it's already crispy dry. It's quite yellow, you know.
But it has been cooler. I've been feeling like we've had lots of cool days. That's how I knew that you'd be excited, Matt, because you've been complaining about the cool days.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, they are lovely days, but the wind's been a bit fresh.
It has been really windy. Yeah.
This is sort of bad news for me. This sort of means that the hot weather I'm indoors all summer.
You're stuck inside.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm someone who don't handle the heat. As you know, I went to my first cricket match and I got heat stroke within the first hour of the game.
Of course you did.
And I was throwing up at the Wacker.
She had sandpaper for lunch in her sandwich, which wasn't good. That didn't help.
Do you know how many people, particularly at the Melbourne Cup, get heat stroke and throw up within an hour or two.
I wish that was the case. I packed a whole esky full of stuff and I ended up just drinking water covered in a sarong and sunscreen. I never
so
even
funny.
It was
keep talking.
Shocking.
Yeah, okay. Next time go on a grandstand with some cover if
yeah.
you can't handle the outer.
Well, also the thing is, you know my dog McGruff, he yeah. insists on wearing that thick black fur everywhere you go. You buy a dog
yes.
one
yeah,
fur
true,
and
yeah.
they want to wear it everywhere.
Will he take his fur coat off every now and then?
He won't take it off.
No, he's a classy act.
He insists on wearing it out. He is classy like that. And so he's going to be waiting until 8 p.m. at night every day for a walk because
yes.
that weather's just not appropriate for dog walking.
No, he's the perfect dog for you, really,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, we are. We're indoors together.
Look, the hot weather's coming, although we're getting teased on Monday because it's going to be a blistering 36 and then it's going to be cool again next week, like it's spring again.
Okay.
I can't wait to get my long, really white legs down to Trigg Beach and scare people.
You see, it's the inconsistency
so
that
white.
I can't take.
The inconsistency?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Monday you'll be going, I'm in my element.
I'm here.
I'm going to the beach and yeah. go for a swim, and then Tuesday it'll be just frustration again.
Matt's going to turn up on Monday in boardies, thongs and no shirt to
yeah,
work.
Absolutely.
That's a deal.
Crank up the aircon.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Think quick, win big. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test.
And here we are on the eve of summer and David Bayswater's on. G'day, Davo.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, we're good, thanks, buddy. Welcome to the Pressure Test. You know how it works. We give you a category. We give you a time limit and you need to give us some correct answers. For each one you get right, $10. But if you get all of them, Dave, $250 to kick off the weekend. You ready?
Cool, yeah.
All right.
All right, Dave, let's do it. We're going to put 20 seconds on the clock for you.
All of 20, okay. Mm. Done.
Time's going to start as soon as I give you the category. We need you to list 10 animated movies. Go.
You got me there. Simpsons the movie...
What was that, Dave?
Simpsons the movie.
Oh, yeah, okay,
Simpsons,
yep.
Good.
Fantasia. Toy Story 1, 2 and 3.
I reckon we've got to give him those.
Yeah, we will.
That'd be five, wouldn't
that'd
it?
That'd be five,
you got
yeah.
five in there, Dave, so $50.
Chill.
Really started to come good at the end, Dave, and I know that feeling.
Story of my life.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're good, mate. There were so many out there, but you nailed three of the four Toy Stories. Good job.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, of course, the Finding Nemo and Shark Tale and Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast.
And, of course, once Dave said Fantasia, I thought, right, he's going old school.
He's going
yeah,
that way.
You know,
yeah.
He had the Bambis of the world.
I'm 66, so I'm no spring chicken.
Hey, Dave, you got $50. Well done, mate.
Cool.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
Cheers, guys. You too.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie. Talking basketball with Damian Martin from the Perth Wildcats.
This amazing ball club that have been, you know, making playoffs for as long as this guy's been alive. Damian Martin, how are you, mate?
I've actually heartbroken. Off air, you were telling me you went to the game last weekend.
We did.
You did, but when we're down 12, you left.
We were doing some filming first.
I don't want to say loyalty is not a strength of yours, but hey, look, we're down 12 while you're present.
Yeah.
We come back and win when you left. So maybe it's a sign, no more Perth Arena for you.
Sorry, mate. It was a flat start for the boys that returned game against the Breakers, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we're looking around like, where's Bryce? Yeah. Normally gets us on our front foot, especially at the offensive end. And our MVP, the superstar, the best player in the league was out injured.
Yep.
But so the guys, yeah, started a bit rusty, but then when they picked up the tempo, they were incredible. So to come from 12 behind against a great team in New Zealand and get the win, yeah, it's one of the more special ones and one I won't forget.
Damo, you haven't got a game this weekend, so we can talk about something else. What's your Trivial Pursuit specialty? Like on a quiz night, what's your go-to genre?
Oh, I go with geography normally.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a strength. Let's use that word very lightly, but it is the one I usually choose.
Geography's where your bag's at. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
Just learning things about you as we go.
Oh, good teacher in high school, so I insisted on always doing geography courtesy of Mr. Johnson. Shout out to Mr. Johnson if you're listening in country New South Wales.
Nice.
Capitals and flags, was that a strength?
Yeah, and funnily enough, we've just bought in Edgewater, and about 300 metres away, there's a gentleman in his 60s, and I went and knocked on his door the other day. We with Maggie. And I said, oh, look, you have a different flag up every day. Just wondering the story behind it. And about 30 minutes later, I had the history of every flag, why he does it. But he was in the Navy, but it stemmed back to, it's a bit nostalgic, when he was in his primary school days, he used to be the flag bearer. So now he's just obsessed with putting up a different flag every day. Yeah,
and how cute are you going to meet the neighbours and get a sense of the community?
Well, I told Maggie as we passed our house, she like pointed to home and said, oh, home, home. I said, no, we're going to go say hi to someone. And so I was a bit nervous, never met this guy.
Yeah.
Went and knocked on his door. We had this great conversation. He was brilliant. And so then every house for the next 300 metres on the way back to home, Maggie would point to the house and say, go say hi, go say hi, go say hi.
Want to meet everyone.
Haven't taught my daughter Stranger Danger at all.
No.
So it was just failing fathering 101.
And for blokes flying a new flag every day, you want to find out what's going on. Oh, I'm living next door to the UN. I mean, come on.
Exactly. No, he does it. If there's a national day, he would do it. Otherwise, he did have the rainbow flag up when it was celebrating 1 year since gay marriage was approved. So, you know, he's on top of things.
Actually, there are a lot of flags flying in our city, but they're almost all bloody Eagles fans at the moment. Driving me crazy.
Loud and proud. Yeah, let's get some of those Wildcats ones up.
It was so exciting to be down on court level the other day. And we were only there for like 15 minutes, but it was so brilliant, that atmosphere, and to be there and watching you guys, you know, at eye level. And the fans, my goodness me, you have got the greatest fans in Australian sport. I saw, Kimber pointed the gentleman out, possibly the greatest, most luxurious rat's tail I've ever seen in my life. This thing was beautiful, wasn't it?
I mean, it was something to behold.
I mean,
really.
Rat's tail doesn't even give it.
It was rat's tail, but with the length of the cartoon character from Tangled.
Yes.
I mean, like proper down the tower, you can rescue him from below type thing.
It shows effort and commitment.
It does.
Right now, Maggie has a bit of a mullet,
but
that's just from lazy parenting. Whereas this guy has taken some time.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay, so a bit of a break for cats at the moment, but it is national duty for the Boomers. I hear that the boys, you know, it's the World Cup Asian sort of leg of the qualifiers at this point in time. So some guys who wouldn't normally get a game are getting a game. And I hear that Vlahov and Bradke and a couple of others are on standbys as well.
It was a bit like that when the squad was announced and it's extended squad. Obviously, all of our players, Aussie players in the NBA, they're not eligible.
Yeah.
So it's an NBL-based team. And yeah, Craig Moller, who played one game for the Fremantle Dockers.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Multi-sport guys.
Incredible. Started as a basketballer, went to AFL, played a game, and then came back to basketball. Now sitting up for the Australian team. So it's a hell of a story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I look at guys like Clint Steindl, who I thought deserved a call up. You know, the way Greg Hoyer, the intensity he brings to the game. So, you know, Angus Brandt misses through injury. Jesse Wagstaff was unlucky not to get the call up. But Mitch Norton, Nick Kay will wear the Wildcats jersey or represent us in an Australian jersey. And we can't wait to see how they do.
Great. Hey, mate, good to see you again. The boys back on soon. How far away are you?
Yeah, I'm hoping to play our next game. So that'll be in Sydney against Andrew Bogut, former Wildcat Kevin Lynch. So Bogut and I...
Bogut, who?
Exactly right. He's made about $100 million in the NBA.
Yeah,
we would live together at Australian Institute of Sport as 17-year-olds. So it's kind of nice that it's come full circle and we'll be opponents in the latter stages of our careers.
Defense against the seven-footer. Good luck.
Yeah, this will be fun.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. The Juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
37.
Hugh Jackman has announced that he will embark on a world arena tour.
Really?
I mean, I know Hugh Jackman's a big deal, but he's not the kind of guy I expect to sell out arenas.
Yeah.
But because he's got all of these show tunes to show.
Yeah.
And he'll be performing songs from his latest movie, of course, the hit of The Greatest Showman, and musicals like Les Mis, The Boy from Oz, and Oklahoma. Right, so
there's a bright golden haze in the meadow, so it's okay. So I'm still trying to find Liz Hayes.
It's going to feature a 26-piece orchestra as well as 30 singers and dancers.
Really?
All of which are Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He's very quick.
It's just him over and over. And it's scheduled to kick off mid-next year, and he's going to travel throughout Europe and the US.
Yep.
And then he's going to come back and end with shows in Australia and New Zealand. And on the Today Show in the US, Jackman said this.
I am doing a big arena tour. This is a dream come true for me. I've done it in Australia, but now I'm going to go around the world. I'm going to cities all over America. We're going to Europe. We're going to the UK. We're going back to Australia and New Zealand.
You're a rock star.
I'm singing. I'm dancing. I'm telling stories. It's sort of like I'm on the back nine of my life now, and this is about the front nine.
So many Wolverine fans thought it might have been, he's going to do one more movie, and they're disappointed.
Yes.
But that's what the announcement was.
Well, Jackman said, I picked all of my favourite songs and you'll all sit through it.
Really?
Okay.
So good luck.
Yeah.
Have fun at the arena.
Yeah.
Now, this is fantastic. Experience AC/DC hits like you've never heard them before with Let There Be Rock orchestrated.
Right.
It's tomorrow night. This is a world first. It's AC/DC backed by a 30-piece symphony orchestra.
Brilliant.
And it features a rock and roll royalty super band.
Yes.
Right? Now, let me tell you who's in this band.
Yep.
Tim Ripper Owens from Judas Priest.
Yep.
Simon Wright from AC/DC, Steve Balbi from Noiseworks or Mysex,
yeah.
Yep.
Joel McDonald from Rose Tattoo, James Morley from The Angels,
yeah.
And Paul Christie from Mondo Rock.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Of course, James Morley helped me out on Beckenham.
He did.
Yeah, for Hits From Your Hood. Yeah.
Paul Christie in the Party Boys as well with all those blokes together.
Oh, yes.
This is going to be great. It is tomorrow night, a two-hour concert, and this is how the guys sound. Little strings in the background.
Yeah.
Note yourself, don't try and sing that one at Rockstar next year.
No,
definitely not. There are still some tickets available from crownperth.com.au if you want to see that tomorrow night.
Okay.
Now, guys, the Arias were on Wednesday night and Keith Urban hosted.
Yes.
And now Keith and Nicole Kidman have been spotted in Sydney at Chatswood Mall scoffing KFC in the food court.
Yay! Oh, I love Keith Urban now.
Getting down with some dirty chicken in the food court.
And a zinger.
And then going off for a spot of shopping in Kmart.
Did Nicole have the bucket hat on? Go to the cricket? I want to see that.
They're real people, guys. They're real people. Okay. And there were photos, so we know it happened.
Oh, wow. Good on you, guys.
That's your daily juice.
Oh, before we wrap up, you've got to say it was 22 years ago tonight. Michael Jackson was in Perth. On that amazing tour, he played the Burswood Dome before they pulled it down.
The
dome. So, like, I think he did 3 gigs over 5 nights or something like that. And he stayed at Scarborough down at Rendezvous.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, right.
Jacket, 1996. If you went to the show, they'd bring back a few memories today for you.
Rendezvous.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, stayed down in Scarborough. So, I guess it was probably easier to get him out into a car underneath that hotel than to get him from Burswood, as it was, you know, 50 metres away.
Yeah.
Because the fans would have been everywhere.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Coburn, Cannington, Melfin, Girraween, Joondalup, Eastvic Park, the places between. Home is where the heart is and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt's Hits From Your Hood.
Oh, what a year of Matt's Hits From Your Hood it's been.
Oh, didn't we just, like, get blood out of a stone out of you this year? Do some more suburbs, Matt, more songs.
I've still got about 278 to go.
I love the way it's gone to next level with special guests this year.
Yes.
You know, some wonderful people who've joined us and joined you in song and also playing some great music as well.
Yeah, well, apparently I'm joining Hugh Jackman on his arena tour next year. Yeah,
You're the support act.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, what we're going to do is, okay, so next week we're going to play the 5 favourites for the year.
Okay.
So if you go to mix.com.au or to our Facebook page, you can vote for your favourite and we'll play those over the week.
Okay,
and
great.
And we found last year when we did this, it wasn't even people necessarily voting for their own suburbs.
No, it wasn't.
Some people were just saying, I really loved that particular song and that was my favourite and that's why I've gone for it. Yep. Yeah.
What was your favourite, Casey?
This year?
Yeah.
I think my favourite this year was High Wycombe.
Ah,
this is a beauty.
Baby!
Is welcome at the board. Is that you on horns, mate? Sounds good. Got 7 crashes dated. Roundabout at Newburn Road. Yeah. On a Friday night, at the pub might see a fight, but $5.90 pints. That might be your vote at mix.com.au or Mix Facebook as well.
That was supported by the Perth Symphony Orchestra, that one. Really? I loved
that. I really felt like a proper music producer there watching them do that in the
Quincy
studio.
Jones in there.
It was brilliant.
How about you, Maddie? What was your favourite from 2018?
Oh, your own favourite? That's like picking a child.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it may not have been for everyone, but I really loved A, because it was my hood, Scarborough, and B, I got to have a bit of a go with a proper opera singer to the tune of Ness and Dorma, the very famous aria, and we had a go at Scarborough. Like sands and shark feet at Scarborough.
That's oh, the drama.
Yeah, that's usually when they're opening the thing of Nescafe at that moment.
It is actually, yeah.
It's
actually,
it's beautiful.
Be a lot of blokes with their mates walking around Scarves at about 1 o'clock looking for a kebab, imitating that, I reckon.
You think so?
Having a bit of a crack.
I'd like to think that was true. What about you, Clazy?
I've got to go close to home. I mean, I grew up in Hammersley, so Warwick was close to home. I love
yeah.
this.
Now Warwick,
looking great. Gotta love the Devo. Steady, going straight. Still got bushland and open space. Yeah. Warwick Stadium.
It's so frustrating. In Warwick, in good shape. Yeah. Arundel
Road. I'm sorry, I was waiting for Arundel Road. That's my favourite bit. Arundel Road.
Arundel Road, go straight.
So good.
Yeah, and we had, you know, Beckenham. I really enjoyed that one last week. Safety Bay, Rottnest. I mean, yeah, there was a lot. So get onto Facebook or mix.com.au and vote for your favourite. Now, this Friday.
So no spinning of the wheel this week, is that right?
No, we're not going to okay. do that.
But you said we were going to fill another hit before the end of the year.
We are, and it's going to be a song about our beautiful city.
Oh, I'm mm-hmm. glad it's not an Adelaide suburb or something stupid like that.
No, no, and we're going to go out hopefully with a bang, mm-hmm. and I will require your help.
Oh,
okay. Do we get to finally write some lyrics?
Some recruits.
Oh, all those suggestions we've put forward all year.
You can suggest your life away, by all means.
But nothing's going to happen.
Nothing will end up in the song. Yeah, I'm an egomaniac and a control freak, but that's fine.
Mate, you don't want me singing.
Oh, you're singing. Oh, well, yeah, I'll get you to talk speak.
Oh, come on. Can I do that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
give me a deep voice.
So this time, well, you know, next week, we'll drop the final Matt's Hits for Your Hood for 2018.
All right, I'll do it.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning.
It's Captain Paul's joke of the day. Now, it was going to be a hilarious joke, but I can see my joke sitting on the printer now because it's been playing up all morning, so you've got my second best joke.
Oh, dear.
So, look, every morning for the past 6 months, I've announced loudly to my family that I'm going for a jog.
Okay.
And then I didn't. Mm. It's my longest running joke of the year.
Can someone go to the printer?
Yeah.
I mean, all right, Paulie. That Big Breakfast catch-up was for the new Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.